It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Mr. Pryor.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week a timely subject, seems like more than ever. How to overcome fear. I think you've touched on this before, but it seems like fear and anxiety is what drives so many of the issues that you counsel about, and some fresh perspective on that this week.
And fear, probably now more than ever that I've experienced before on a societal scale.
Sure.
fear coming from lots of different directions, and of course, you know, for the body of Christ, you know, and people voicing their fear, even strong Christians voicing their fear. You know, the scripture says that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them out of fear.
Hmm.
And we see this kind of fear. Gee, what is the answer? So I was thinking of some of the Psalms. Psalms 119, verse 165. Talks about great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Another Psalm 1 is, blessed is the man, or happy is the man. Talks about walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sits in the seat of the scornful, etc. And it talks about his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And I think, what is the law of the Lord?
Yeah, what does that have to do with
it? I hope it's not Leviticus and Deuteronomy. That would put you
in. Yeah, the year-long reading plan of the Bible, those are where people usually give up.
Yeah. I think the law of the Lord has to do with God's written word, but also his intimately spoken word, the living word. This is where I find in the Psalms David talking about the law of the Lord being sweeter than honey and the precepts and these kinds of things. But we hear David also talking about, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. I'm not sure if David wrote that one, but what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or when I look at the stars. And so we see David contemplating not only the written word of God, but also the nature of God. So today we have the written word of God. We have the intimate spoken word of God. This is where I hear God personally. Could be through the scripture, but it could be through nature. It could be through fellowship in some way that I hear God speak into my life and my heart. And of course, we have the manifest, the Word made flesh. So we have Christ here in our lives too. But one of the things about this, some of these precepts and the written word of God, and even some of the spoken word of God, I want to talk a little bit about the brain today. But so we talk about these precepts, principles, the word of God, and these things come to us sometimes, I think, as foreign or conflictory to our way of thinking. You know, our way of thinking is by nature fear and survival based, because we're mortal. And so when we hear these things, for example, all things work together for good, it's kind of a conflictory sometimes to our experience. And so I want to talk about of the reality that kind of we have in our minds and in our brains, and how we go about changing that. You know, there's a scripture that says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And how do we get God's word in our heart? How do we change this, our way of thinking, to where we can kind of get a hold of these promises? Great peace have they that love thy law, and happy is the man, his delight is in the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. These kinds of things, how can they become realities to us? So our reality, our beliefs, our fears, these are held in our mind and our brain, and interestingly, in our brain circuitry. So if you understand this, if you don't, I'm going to try to draw it out, a mental image as quickly as I can. But if you can imagine kind of a snapshot of a profile of a face ahead. And there's a circuitry that goes from the starts at the thalamus down in the central part of the brain, and it loops forward, and it goes into a circuitry. There's a lot of circuitries in the brain, and one of them, main one, is called the Pepe's circuitry, and it goes up across the prefrontal cortex and through this part of the brain, the cortex, across the top. I'm forgetting some of the terms here. It's not important. Loops back, and eventually it comes back down into the brain, and it connects all these centers of all these different areas of the brain. You know, you got the thalamus, hippocampus, hypothalamus, amygdala, all these different areas that are taking in information, and they take in information through the sensory, through our sensory apparatus, hearing, touch, hearing, sight, smell, for the five senses. And this loop that's going around, this circuitry, is like your blood flow. It never stops. It's always continuing. Mm. And so it's a certain reality. There's a narrative to it. It's your belief system, and it's kind of how we know who we are. Mm. It's never stopping. It's the story of my life, and it's kind of going through all of these collecting information and affirming certain things. So if I get contradictory information, it has a way of screening that out. So you can reinforce this narrative, this story, or sometimes it can be challenged. So new information is coming in through these sensory input. For example, a person might have a fear of loud noises, but they might learn through experiencing loud noises that are not threatening, that they don't have to be afraid of every loud noise. So this would be new information that goes into this information loop, and so it kind of changes. The beliefs can flex a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard that this, almost when you make changes like that, it grows new brain.
Well, it does certainly add into this information, and the information, these are neurons that are firing in a certain order. So
are you saying fears and emotions are primarily chemical and physical?
Yeah, well, they're chemical and physical. They're also mental, and that's kind of the interesting part that even if I understood it, it would take a long time to probably explain it. Where does the brain meet the mind? So we kind of have both of these.
So is that why all the advances in the approach to addressing these issues has come from chemical ways, like with antidepressants? And mm-hmm. they've discovered right. something chemical to treat this stuff chemically, as opposed to talk counseling.
Yeah, right. So the counseling probably would treat the mind, and the chemicals treat the brain. But the two are interconnected in such a way that you can't really talk about the brain without talking about the mind, and vice versa. So it's it's an amazing thing. But where the two meet and interact. But we have this narrative that's going looping around. Even when you're asleep, this information keeps going. That's why, like, if your body is stimulated in some way, like maybe the covers fall off and you get cold, or you hear a loud noise, if there's some sort of a stimulation, it goes into this loop and it creates some sort of a crazy story. Because when you're sleeping, of course, the filters are kind of turned off and you're not really screening the information. So that's why dreams can be so nutty. Mm-hmm. So we have this, but the challenge is, I'm hearing some new information. The challenge is we have to reason through some of this fear-based narrative, because the new information, like say the word of God, say if I have fear in my life, we're talking about fear this week, I have fear in my life, and I read these scriptures, perfect love casts out fear. And the problem here is that new information that I'm either reading, or I'm hearing it read, or I'm imagining it in my mind on a side. When you recall a scripture verse, you're actually not hearing it through your ears. But the experience of that scripture verse is happening in your auditory nervous tract. So it is, I mean, your brain treats it as though it's hearing it audibly because the imagination of it has to do with that auditory tract. It's just the same as if you envision a scenery or, I'm getting hungry, I'm thinking of a certain meal or something, and you get a picture of that meal, you're not actually seeing it
through your eyes. That's the key to advertising.
Yeah, you're not really seeing...
television advertising.
Not really seeing it with your eyes, but the experience of the seeing it is actually happening along that track that's through your visual cortex. So we have the new information coming in. And it meets this old information, and sometimes, as I said, it's conflictory. We hear these promises out of Scripture, perfect love casts out fear, and yet it seems to conflict with our experience of fear. And so how do we get the new information in? So we have to – the challenge is to reason through the fear-based narrative. And by the way, I want to make sure and get this in. We've talking about all of the reasons that people have to fear. Listening to a lot of news nowadays, negative things, that doesn't help to challenge that fear-based narrative. That just reinforces it. So we have to be hearing, reading, hearing new affirming positive information.
God's truth.
The other day I was like kind of sort of in the pit of despair, so to speak, and laying on the table beside me were two small magazines. I hadn't read them yet, but they had come in the mail, and they came from an organization. It's called the Great Commission Media Ministry. And this is the ministry that's all around the world. And I picked up these magazines, and I was looking at all the amazing things that are happening in churches in Siberia and Tibet. And I just thought it was just amazing, the thousands or tens of thousands of people that are ordering Bibles and needing Bibles and coming to the Lord. And I thought, boy, there's not a lot of really great things happening in America, but there are wonderful things happening in the body of Christ around the world. It's just amazing. So we need this kind of information. I guess we're coming up on a break here, so when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how we get God's word in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So we want to get God's word into our heart. How do I get how do I get this new information, positive information, into this information loop so that I can dispel the fear and have a more positive, joyful experience.
Have God's narrative controlling things. Okay, well, how to overcome fear, looking at that subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. Daniel is a life coach and counselor, and if you're listening today, you feel like you need some counseling, maybe Skype counseling. Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find about 7 years of radio podcasts. I have offices in Kirkland and Edmonds, and also doing a lot of Skype counseling.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. 778-6169. Or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Co-host Mark Holland with Daniel this week, looking at how to overcome fear, changing that narrative that goes round and round in our minds of fear and worldly thinking, and the Word of God to the rescue, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, the... It's really interesting. The I alluded to in the first section of this today's broadcast that we have a certain sense of reality, and that sense of reality can be challenged, and a lot of times should be challenged. Our reality as human beings tends to be fear-based. That ultimately has to do with sin, but it has to do with our mortality, fear and survival-based. And we really need a paradigm shift. We need to change this information. And the information is like blood circulation. It's constantly moving through this information, constantly moving through the brain to reaffirm a certain reality. And that's how I have the sense of who I am. So if I go to bed tonight and wake up in the morning, I'm going to know who I am. I'm not going to forget who I am, because this sense of this narrative of reality continues in my brain. But of course, it builds. When we were little children, there were a lot of things that we didn't contemplate or understand, but those have been added to this kind of narrative of reality. Some of the things in that narrative need to be challenged and need to be changed. We don't have to live lives of fear. We can live lives of faith. But the information has to be in that information loop. And it's actually quite complex because it involves all these it involves the sensories, but it involves these different areas of the brain that are responsible for emotions and behaviors, and the emotions tied to the behaviors, and feelings tied to things that we've heard and things that we've tasted and things that we've touched. And so it's actually quite complex, but in a sense we can simplify it by saying it's an information loop that ties into all these different parts, you know, the hippocampus, the prefrontal cortex, the thalamus, the hypothalamus, the amygdala, and the temporal areas that kind of collect the information from our sensories and then funnel them through these different things. And it's sort of like a check and balance system in our brain. Some of the information gets discarded. Some of it gets, because it's affirmed by this information that keeps going. So I want to talk here in the last part a little bit about, I mean, you can tell by the way that the topic and we're talking about, it actually is complex, but we can simplify it and make it usable here.
Okay.
This is an interesting point too. We're going to talk about how to get God's word in our hearts, or what that actually looks like. You know, we talk about, you know, the word have I hidden in my heart. How do I do that? You know, I got about this extra pocket in my shirt right over my chest. I can stick the New Testament there. How do I hide God's word in my heart? Here's an interesting thing. You know, when you feel pain in your body, like somebody hit my thumb with a hammer, it isn't actually my thumb that gets the pain. It's my brain. There's nothing in my thumb. The nerve endings are there, but it's the brain that assign. There's nothing in my thumb that can tell where the pain actually is.
Mm.
The brain is the command center that sends nerves signals down to where the nerve endings are in my thumb. It's the brain that assigns the pain to my thumb so that I grab my thumb instead of my toe.
Mm.
So it's interesting that emotions of pain, emotional pain, and even emotional joy, well, what does the brain do with emotional pain? It doesn't go to my thumb. Emotional joy doesn't go to my thumb or my foot.
Mm.
Interestingly, it goes to my heart. It goes to my heart area.
Mm.
And we say, even the thrill of finding truth, that's something you feel in your gut, in your heart area, in your lungs area. So it's interesting when you say, that witnesses to me. When you hear something's a truth, you say, that bears witness to me.
Mm.
You feel it in your heart. So it's interesting that the brain sends it to your heart.
Mm.
So it's our sensory input. I'm thinking of 1 John 1:1, where John says, you know, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and we have seen with our eyes and we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. And these are the things we're declaring unto you. So he's talking about our sensory. You know, we've handled these, we've seen them, we've heard them. This is the information that went into the reality, went into the information circuitry with these people who walked with Jesus Christ. You know, it was conflictory, again, with their with the way that they knew life and the way, but they became convinced of it. This information came into the circuitry in their brain through hearing Christ speak, through seeing. This was new information. We have to hear and we have to see words of life. And too many people today, young and old, don't read the Word of God. And if we don't read it, how can we meditate on it? And how can we get it into this information loop if it doesn't in some way come through the sensory input organs? So we have to see and we have to hear the words of life. We have to meditate on them. It's not enough just to hear information, because information that I just hear can be rejected by this information, by the already abiding narrative, unless I reason past the narrative. So we look at things like we consider things. You know, people might say, if there's a God, why is there pain in the world? Well, is there something in the scripture about that? And I might be reading the scripture and I might read a passage about something that puzzles me. Could a loving God do that? And so I need to see, this is being rejected by the information loop that's already there. So I need to reason past this. I have to meditate on the word. You know, we have this, you know, what is man that you're mindful of? And the psalmist said, you know, so he's meditating on it. He's not just repeating it over and over. He's breaking it down. He's trying to see, is this really true? So he's meditating on it. And this meditating on it, it's going to lead to trust. It's going to, well, we commune with God about it. We don't just talk to ourselves about it. You know, what is man that you're mindful? He's talking to God. What is man that you're communing with God about it? This leads to trust in God. This leads to acceptance. This leads to assurance. So we've got, you know, we have to hear, we have to see and hear the words of life. The written word, the intimate spoken word of God to us when we're in devotion with the Lord, spending time with the Lord. Another thing is fellowship and mission mindfulness, putting others first. This also leads to an affirmation of new information that comes in. When we're with people of like faith, not a negative report, but a positive report. Maybe the worship services. I think in our church recently, one of the worship leaders has made it a point to bring some scripture verses in with the worship songs, because a lot of these worship songs they're kind of ballads and personal experience things, and so it's important. They need to have the kind of substance, affirmation that can challenge that information loop. And so, kind of seasoning that with the Word of God and scripture verses, this song talks about this particular word. And so then we kind of have a way of using that new information, and it comes as an affirmation that we've heard this before, and we've seen this God's faithfulness to be true. So that was another thing of just, you know, fellowship, not really easy in these times, but we can find ways to fellowship, whether it's online or over the phone or Skyping. A lot of churches, I hope, are opening up. I think that the government's trying to keep this from happening, but I hope that a lot of churches are opening up. Our church is fairly open. I hope it stays that way. So anyway, in a nutshell, a very small nutshell, this is the process, and I hope that talking through this for people who live in fear and realize that, okay, there's a way out of this, and what I'm really trying to do, what I'm really having to do to get the Word of God in my heart, how do I get it in my heart? Well, it's got to go through my brain, and then my brain will assign it to my heart. And we really do have that sense in our heart and lung area. The body's amazing, and it's amazingly indicative and telling of the nature of God, that the way the Bible speaks about the heart, and and how that our brain actually assigns an affirmation of truth, that feeling that I get. I don't know if falsehoods register in our heart. I think they register on our brain. But I hope that this helps us to make this more tangible and realistic as a process to kind of embrace.
Well, that process, again, is we must see and hear the word of life. We must meditate on it, and we must kind of reinforce it with fellowship and mission mindfulness. Mm-hmm. Great discussion this week. Overcoming Fear, Sound Mind Broadcast with Daniel Pryor. Daniel is a counselor and life coach, and if you heard today you need more help, maybe an individual counseling session of some kind, marriage counseling, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. You'll find these radio shows and the podcast there. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds, also right now doing a lot of Skype counseling.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind Broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.